You know this one. It's on every cafe playlist on this earth. It's the song that's usually playing when you decide what to order. But, you know, as I dug into it, I know the sound of it, but I don't really know it at all. I know the shape of the melody the way, you know, a face across the room. I don't know where the bass is supposed to go. And then I was like, isn't it in English or is it in Portuguese? And then when I thought about it, I realized that the Portuguese lyrics aren't the direct translation of the English lyrics. So I don't know really what this tune is. And the whole thing sits in a minor key, even though it sounds like a sunny afternoon. I didn't know the tune I had filed away under Pleasant was actually built out of somebody being scared of being hurt. 2 years into learning the double bass, and I get humbled by a song I could have sworn I already knew. So, went home, opened the real book, page 14, and this is where this hour comes from. This is The Standard Show. I'm Joanna Lynn, and every week I take one tune out of the real book and give it the whole hour. I trace where it came from, who built it, who rebuilt it, why it survived. This week, it's Água de Beber, Water to Drink, written by Antonio Carlos Jobim, with words by Vinicius de Moraes. It's not a love song about a beach. It's a song about thirst, and it was written in the middle of a construction site in a city that didn't exist yet. Because that's the thing, nobody tells you about this tune. Everybody thinks it's from Rio. It is not. It came from a hole in the ground in the middle of Brazil and was carried out of there by a guy who didn't usually sing. This is Jobim himself playing underneath me. It's from his first American album. It's called The Composer of Desafinado Plays. It was recorded at A&R Studios in New York in May of 1963, arranged by Klaus Ogerman, flute on the melody, French horn underneath, and Jobim himself barely touching the piano. He plays so little. He's the composer, and he's the last person in the room trying to prove that. Antonio Carlos Brasileiro de Almeida Jobim was born in January of 1927 in Tijuca, a middle-class neighborhood in Rio de Janeiro. His father left when he was small. His mother, Nilza, ran a school, and when she noticed that her son could not stop listening to his uncle play Bach and Villa-Lobos on the guitar, she rented a piano and hired a teacher. And this is where it gets really interesting because of who the teacher was. Hans Joachim Kohlreiter, a German composer living in exile in Brazil, and the man who brought the 12-tone composition to that country. That's not just a light jazz education. Jobim, from the age of 14, is being taught by someone whose life work is atonality. Someone who really thought about what a note is allowed to do. And on the other side, coming through the window, is Debussy, Ravel, Samba from the Clubs, Ari Barroso, and eventually American jazz coming into the casinos of Rio. He tried architecture, lasted about a year, quit, and started playing piano in bars, and eventually landed as an arranger at Odeon, one of Brazil's biggest labels. He might have stayed there. He was a very good arranger, respected in Rio, unknown everywhere else. Plenty of people have had that career. But what changed it was a poet. That was Jobim playing Agua de Beber. What's underneath me right now is Desafinado from the very same session. So you can hear what he's doing with harmony on that same afternoon with the same band in context. In 1956, Jobim was commissioned to write music for a play by a diplomat named Vinicius de Moraes. Orfeo de Conceição, Orpheus, moved to a Rio favela during Carnival, staged at the Teatro Municipal with sets by Oscar Niemeyer. It became the film Black Orpheus, won the Palme d'Or at Cannes, and the Academy Award for Best Foreign Film. And then everything from there accelerates. Chega de Saudade, with Raul Gilberto singing it, is usually called the first bossa nova record. Desafinado, Corcovado. By 1962, there's a Carnegie Hall concert and the whole American industry deciding that Brazil is the new sound. Now, here is what Jobim was actually doing, and this is the part I want you to hear while the music is under us. The received wisdom is that bossa nova is soft. It's not soft. It's quiet and intense, which is a really different thing. Jobim runs Debussy and Ravel, chromatic voice leading, chords that slide sideways instead of resolving. They're a rhythm that came off the samba, and then he takes all the boom and volume out of it. But the tension doesn't go away. It's just not shouting. Agua de Beber is a small, perfect example. It's in A minor. The original recording is in A minor. The real book puts it in A minor. And that fact alone should tell you something, because nobody hears the tune as sad. It sounds like a hot, sunny afternoon. But it is in a minor key the entire time, and Jobim is doing the thing he does constantly, where the harmony descends underneath a melody that doesn't move very much. The melody is always a bit stubborn. It hangs around for a few notes, and the chords beneath it keep walking down and away chromatically, so the melody note keeps meaning something different in the context every time it comes back. That's the whole trick, and it's the reason the tune is hard to hear. The bass line isn't just decoration, it's the counterpoint to the melody and the lyric. You take the bass line out, and the melody sounds a little bit nursery rhyme-ish, a little over simple. You put it back in, and it sounds like aching and longing. In 1959, the president of Brazil was building a capital city out of virtually nothing, Brasilia. Middle of the country, middle of the highlands, a modernist dream city rising out of red dust. And Kubitschek wanted a symphony for the inauguration. So he invited Jobim and Vinicius de Moraes to come stay at the Catacinho, a contemporary presidential palace which was made of wood, and write him one. They did eventually write a symphony. It's called Sinfonia de Alvorada. It was not finished in time for the inauguration, and it did not get a public performance until 1966. So on that count, the trip was a bit of a failure. But one evening, the two of them were walking near the wooden palace, and they kept hearing water, running water, out there in the dry highlands, in the middle of a construction site. They asked the night watchman what that sound was, and the watchman said, "This is according to Farias, one of the engineers who built Brasilia." The watchman said, "You don't know? That's where there is water to drink, my friends. Agua de beber, camará." They wrote the song that night. Farias was one of the first people who heard it sung by Tom and Vinicius at the piano bar of the only hotel in the whole town, hours after they wrote it. It is widely called the first song ever written in Brasilia. It's the last word of the chorus, that camará. That's the watchman's word, and they kept it in. They put a construction worker's slang into the hook of the song, and that would spin around the world, and nobody outside of Brazil would have ever known it was his. The man who wrote those words was Marcus Vinicius de Cruz de Melo Moraes, born in Rio in 1913, and lyricist undersells him
almost comically. He's a serious poet. He published books of sonnets, English literature at Oxford. He's a film critic, for a while a government film censor. In 1943, he passed the exam for Brazil's diplomatic corps and became a career diplomat, vice consul in Los Angeles, then Paris, UNESCO, and Montevideo. So picture this trip properly. The president has invited a serving diplomat and a former architectural student to sit in a wooden shack and write a symphony. What they came back with instead was a two-verse song about being afraid to fall in love. That's what the Portuguese lyric actually says, and it is nothing like what people think it is. It's not about water. Water is the answer, not the subject. The subject is fear. The first verse, I was always certain of one thing, and it only ever brought me disappointment, that love is a sadness, too much sorrow for one heart to carry. And then the chorus comes in, and the chorus is just that watchman over and over saying, water to drink, my friend. And the second verse turns it. I wanted to love, but I was afraid. I wanted to save my heart, but love knows a secret. Fear can kill your heart. That's the Portuguese and original lyric to the song, about a person protecting themselves, of being told that the protection is the thing that will kill you. And the water in the middle of that dry country, the water that night watchman knew about and you do not, the water is the love that you're refusing to drink. Now, there is a second lyric, and it's the one most of you know when you hear it in your head, and it's a completely different song. Norman Gimbel was an American songwriter. Frank Loesser gave him a contract, and in 1963, a publisher named Lou Levy introduced him to Jobim. Over the next few years, Gimbel wrote the English words to The Girl from Ipanema, How Insensitive, Meditation, and Água de Beber. He is also, and this is really the same person, he also wrote Killing Me Softly with his song and the theme for Happy Days. What Gimbel did with Água de Beber is the thing that happens to almost every Brazilian song that crosses the border. You keep the sound and you throw away the fear. His version is about rain and flowers. Your love is rain, my heart the flower. The rain can fall in distant deserts. The rain can fall upon the sea. Since the rain has to fall, let it fall on me. It's charming and romantic. It scans beautifully. It's also a request instead of a warning. The Portuguese says, fear can kill your heart. The English says, please rain on me. I'm not going to explain any more of it than that, because I'd rather you just heard both of them. So here's the first. This is Vinicius de Moraes himself, the poet, the diplomat, not a professional singer, and it shows in the best possible way. This is the original, a Philips 78 out of Rio, January 1961, backed by an ensemble and a choir. The song's debut, sung by a man who wrote the words.
Sempre tive uma certeza que só me deu desilusão. É que o amor é uma tristeza, muita mágoa demais para um coração.
Água de beber, camarada. Água de beber, camarada.
Eu quis amar, mas tive medo e quis salvar meu coração. Mas o amor sabe um segredo. O medo pode matar teu coração.
Água de beber, água de beber, camarada. Água de beber, água de beber, camarada.
Água de beber, água de beber, camará.
Água de beber, água de beber, camará.
Eu nunca fiz coisa tão certa, entrei pra escola do perdão. A minha casa vive aberta, abre todas as portas do coração. Água de beber,
água de beber, camarada.
Água de beber,
água de beber, camarada.
Água de beber.
That's the first Agua de Beber that anyone ever heard. It was the B-side of Nothing Famous. It was Vinicius's own debut single as a singer. He was 47 years old. And now, here is Frank Sinatra singing Gimbel's lyrics again, in English this time, Water to Drink.
Love is rain, my heart the flower. I need your love, or I will die. My very life is in your power. Will I wither and fade, or bloom to the sky? Agua de beber, give the flower water to drink. Agua de beber, give the flower water to drink.
So that's the Sinatra version, and it was recorded February 12, 1969 at Western Recorders in Hollywood. It wasn't released until 1971 on an album called Sinatra & Company. It's the opening track on side one. It is actually Habib himself on vocals and guitar, and it was all arranged and recorded by Deodato, and it has some of his hyper stereo effects going on through the track. Publishing is exactly what you'd expect from a Brazilian song that gets picked up by the American machine, which is to say that the credits are split. Corcovado Music Corp and VM Enterprises in the States, Campidoglio Edizioni Musicali in Italy, the Gimbel Music Group administering the English lyric forever, because Gimbel's people were really good at that. If you look at the copyright line printed in the real book, it credits Hobim, Gimbel, and Moresh in that order, and it has a Rome address, which means a song written by two Brazilians in a wooden shack in the middle of Brazil is on paper administered out of Rome and Beverly Hills. It's not really a scandal. It's just what happened to almost all of this music, but keep it in your head for later. The defining recording of Agua de Beber is not the first one, and it's not the prettiest one. It's the one that puts the song on a stage in front of 100,000 people and made it really move. Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66, their first album for A&M. Herb Alpert presents Sergio Mendes and Brazil 66, released, of course, in 66. Mendes on piano and arrangements, Lanny Hall and B.B. Vogel on the twin vocals, Bob Matthews on bass, João Palma on drums, Jose Soares on percussion, 2 minutes 29 seconds. Just listen to what happens to this tune, then we'll talk about it. Different tune. You want to dance, don't you? Sergio Mendes was a young Rio pianist who'd been playing in the bossa nova clubs and who watched Stan Getz take Brazilian music to the American charts and thought, I could do that, but I could do it with Brazilian music. He left Brazil at the end of 1964. He tried a group called Brazil 65, but that didn't stick. He changed the personnel, changed the concept a little, and by 1966, he had it. Two women singing in a tight unison in English on top of the arrangements over a Brazilian rhythm section that was not compromising that Brazilian feel at all. Herb Alpert heard the group, signed them to A&M immediately, and took them out on tour with him. Mashkinada came off of that record and became a hit, and Mendes became, in commercial terms, the most successful Brazilian musician in the history of American popular music. And what he does to Água de Beber is the thing that made this tune a standard rather than just a crossover curiosity. It's sped up a little. He's got the two voices on that melody, no vibrato, no soloist, no star, so the tune just comes in as a block. He puts a hard, dry rhythm section under it. And then in the middle, he opens a hole and drops a trombone solo, which is not a thing bossa nova is supposed to do. The solo is why musicians started calling this tune at gigs, because Mendes proved the changes could carry a soloist. Before this record, Água de Beber is just a little tune, a pop tune. After this record, it's a vehicle, a thing you can really blow over. It goes from the vocalist repertoire to the horn player's repertoire, and everything that comes after in this hour, everything is hinged on that. And here's the part that sits a little strangely with me. The version that made this tune really playable is also the version that made it furniture, because Brazil 66 is where the song enters the American living room. It's where it becomes the sound of a certain kind of 1966 smooth sophistication. And that is the exact same recording, the thing that liberated it and the thing that flattened it, that is in that 2 minutes and 29 seconds. You are listening to The Standard Show on Big E Radio here in beautiful Edmonton, Alberta. I'm Johanna Aline, and we're spending an hour inside Água de Beber. And I've got five more versions of it for you before we're done. Everything I play is up at the-standard-show.com. Full versions, plus a few more that wouldn't fit into the hour, and playlists for YouTube, iMusic, and YouTube versions right on the site. Version one, and I want to start with one of the strangest things that's happened to this tune. This is Tito Puente and La Lupe from the album Tú y Yo, You and Me. Tico Records, catalog SLP-1125, recorded in New York in 1965. Puente conducting his orchestra from the timbales, La Lupe on the vocals, 2 minutes 38 seconds. La Lupe was Guadalupe Victoria Yoli Raymond, born in Cuba, and she was the most physically alarming performer in Latin music, a singer who screamed, wept, tore at her own clothes, and threw her shoes at the band mid-song. Hemingway is supposed to have called her the creator of the art of frenzy, and Puente, who was the king of the timbales and a very disciplined band leader, put her in front of his orchestra and pointed her at Jobim's Bossa Nova. The anchor is this. This is really the only version where somebody sounds like they're actually thirsty. Version two, and after La Lupe, I'm bringing it way down to one singer in this hour who didn't have to act any of it. Maiza. Just Maiza. In Brazil, you don't need to know the rest of the name. She's like Cher. Água de Beber from the album Canção do Amor Mais Triste. Songs of the Saddest Love. RGE catalog XRLP 5180 from 1962. The 12th album she made and the last one she made for that label. Everyone else in this hour is interpreting a song about being afraid to open your heart, but Maiza is not interpreting anything. Maia Figueira Mangialim was born in 1936 into an aristocratic family. Granddaughter of a baron, at 18 she married André Matrazzo, heir to one of the richest industrial fortunes in Brazil, a man 17 years older than she was, and he forbade her to sing professionally. So she made this first record in 1956, and her face was not allowed on the cover, and the money went to a cancer hospital. That was the arrangement under which she was permitted to exist as a musician, only if it didn't really count. It counted. The record was a hit. She left him, and Brazil handed her a nickname, a musa de dor de cotovelo, the muse of elbow ache, which is the phrase for heartbreak in Brazil. She became the great voice of Fossa, the pit, the torch song. She drank, the papers followed her everywhere, and in 1977, driving home alone to her beach house, she hit the wall of the Rio Niterói Bridge and died at 40. This record from 1962 is billed as her return to the torch song, but the tune I just played you is just the bossa nova sitting in the middle of it, which means you are hearing the saddest singer in Brazil pick up the sunniest music in Brazil and find the grief that was hiding in it the whole time. Thank you.
Sempre tive uma certeza que só me deu desilusão e que o amor é uma tristeza, muita magoa demais para um coração. Água de beber, água de beber, camarada. Água de beber, água de beber, camarada. I'll never see another springtime. I'll never feel the summer sun unless you're there to share that springtime. And like the rain and the flower, our hearts are one. Água de beber, água de beber, camarada. Água de beber, água de beber, camarada. Eu quis amar, mas tive medo. É que salvar meu coração. Mas o amor sabe o segredo. O medo pode matar o teu coração. Água de beber, água de beber, camarada. Água de beber, água de beber, camarada. Bebê camarada, água de bebê, água de bebê camarada.
My Girl, version 3, Ella Fitzgerald, Water to Drink, from Ella Abraza Jobim. Ella Embraces Jobim, Pablo Records from 1981, produced by Norman Grants, arranged by Irk Belling, Toots Thielman on harmonica, Joe Pass on guitar, Oscar Castro Neves on the acoustic guitar, Paulino de Cosa on percussion. She was 64 when she recorded this. This is her first single composer songbook since the Jerome Kern record in 1964, and it's the one that says out loud, Jobim belongs with Gershwin and Porter and Ellington, and I'm going to prove it by giving it a double album. She takes it so fast, faster than anyone really thinks it should go, and then she scats through the middle of it, which is the thing that bossa nova had never permitted before. That tight, smooth groove is version 4. She's All Ours. That's Sophie Millman from her self-titled debut album released October 12, 2004 in Canada on Linus Entertainment. Produced by Bill King and Danny Greenspoon with a band of Toronto players. Milman was born in the Ural Mountains in Russia. Her family immigrated when the Berlin Wall came down, were stripped of their citizenship, and landed in Israel with almost nothing. Some books, some paintings, and a box of old jazz records. She grew up in Israel, then the family moved again to Toronto. She was 20 when she made this album, and she was an undergraduate at the University of Toronto at the time. And Agua de Beber is track one. It's the first thing on her first record. That's a choice, and she said why. She wanted the sound and feel of the Brazilian rhythm, the simple sounds, and those beautiful melodies. Russian-born, Israeli-raised singer in Toronto opens her career with a Brazilian song about being afraid to want, which, if you've ever moved countries, isn't a coincidence. Was put together in the mid-70s by students at the Berklee College of Music who were sick of the illegible, inaccurate fake books that they had been handed. They wrote out the charts by hand, took them to a coffee shop, and then sold them. It was completely illegal. It became the best-selling jazz songbook in history, and Berklee, the part I want to talk about, never officially sanctioned it. In 2004, Hal Leonard licensed the whole thing and put out the sixth edition. Agua de Beber is in the volume 1 of the 6th edition, page 14, fourth tune in the book. It is alphabetical and it sits right between Afternoon in Paris and Eugen. The chart is printed in A minor, which is the original 1961 key, and then the C, B flat, E flat, and bass clef editions are all identically paginated. So it's page 14 no matter what you play. The credit line reads Hobim, Gimbel, and Moresh, and gives a Rome address for Campidoglio. It is marked as a medium bossa, 4-4, and there's a written intro. The head is super short, an A section and a B section, no long form to get lost in, and the markings after the solos send you back for the melody. There is no famous transcription scandal in this one, with the 6th edition mostly fixed here with the chord spelling, not the notes. One practical note if you're going to play it in a jam: if you play the chart as written and nothing else, you will sound wrong, and it wouldn't be your fault. The most circulated corrections among players, and you can watch this argument happen in the iReal Pro forums, which is where these things live now, concern the dominant chord that pushes back to the A minor. The chart gives you a bare alteration. The Astrid Gilberto record and the Brazilian fake books both want more sourness in it than the real book prints. and that flat nine. Nobody will tell you, but you would totally hear it.
I want to tell you what The Real Book has actually become, because it's not really just a book anymore. It's a whole school. When those Berklee students made it in 1975, it was contraband. You bought it under the counter, and bootleggers sold it on corners outside music schools. And the whole time, this is the strange part, it was being taught from. Not officially, because Berklee never put its name on it, but it was the book in all the practice rooms. It was the book in the combo classes. It was the book the faculty knew everybody was using and nobody could assign. An entire generation of conservatory jazz education ran on a text the institution could not legally acknowledge existed. And the problem with teaching it is not the errors. The problem is codification. Carolyn Wilkins, who taught ensembles at Berklee's for years, said this plainly. The chords written in The Real Book start getting treated like the right way, the real way to play the song, and jazz standards do not have a right way. That's the entire point of the exercise in playing a standard. You put three recordings of the same tune next to each other and it becomes obvious there is no single correct version. But a student with a book in front of them doesn't hear three recordings. All they see is one page. And that's exactly what happens at jams. I thought I knew Aguadir Berber because I've heard it in the background 1,000 times. When it comes time to play it, I did what everybody else does, and I read the page. And there's nothing wrong with the page. The page is fine. The page is not wrong, and the transcriptions are correct. The page just can't tell you that Vinicius was frightened, or that La Lupe was furious, or that Sergio Mendes took the fair out and put a trombone in. In 2025, Berklee Press, Berklee, officially put its name on the cover, published something called the Berklee Real Book. 300 songs, all licensed in partnership with Hal Leonard. They surveyed hundreds of faculty, built a database of nearly 900 tunes, and then they picked the ones that were actually being taught. 50 years after five students made a bootleg in a copy shop. The school that would not put its name on it now has its name on it. So the loop is closed. The contraband becomes the curriculum, and the curriculum bought the contraband. And meanwhile, a long way from any of that, people just keep playing their tunes. I promised you six versions of this song, and here is number six, and it is a newer one. It comes from the place where the song came from. Antonio Adolfo, Brazilian pianist, arranger, band leader, and this is the part, Teacher, from the album Hoping Forever, recorded in Rio de Janeiro in May of 2021 on his own label, AAM Music. Adolfo on piano in all the arrangements. Rafael Roja on trombone, Lula Galveo on guitar, Jorge Helder on double bass, Rafael Barata on drums, Dada Costa percussion. Thank you.
Adolfo was born in Rio, like Jobim. He heard a Felicidade come out of his mother's car radio when he was 12, and in his words, it was love at first sight. He made his professional debut playing Vinicius de Moraes musical in a theater in Ipanema. He met Jobim after the 1962 Carnegie Hall concert, and they talked for hours. And then years later, he taught music to Jobim's children and to Jobim's grandson. This is a man who taught the composer's grandchildren in the city where the composer grew up 60 years after two men heard running water in the dark in the middle of nowhere. I said that I was going to give you six versions, but my darlings, we have time for seven. So I'm going to sneak one in here. It's just such a powerful version of this song. You're going to listen to Francesca Tadoy live from 2024. That's Francesca Tadoy on piano, Mateusz Nakolowski on double bass, and Sander Smeets on drums. Tadoy is an Italian pianist who lives in the Netherlands, and the people who write about her keep reaching for the same two names. The first is Oscar Peterson, and the second, Monty Alexander. It tells you that she swings hard and she's not precious about it. Her 2024 album is almost entirely her own tunes. She picked exactly two songs by other people to put on it, and one of them was Agua de Beber. She doesn't just play Agua de Beber, she takes it apart and she builds a whole new castle on the tune. New key, second inversion, triads, a bass line in contrary motion to the melody. The whole thing is restructured into a sort of Agua de Beber suite. She teaches a masterclass on how to do it, and aren't you glad you stuck around? See you at the other end.
Whitman said a sentence about drinking water, and a poet who was afraid of love wrote it into a chorus, and the man trained in 12-tone composition put a minor key underneath it so that the sunniest song you ever heard is kind of the saddest. And then Vinicius himself, badly and sweetly, on a 78 in Rio, Astrid Gilberto, who'd never sung professionally in her life, Portuguese words so flatly, so without pushing, that the fear came back in through the side door, and Sergio Mendes sped it up and cut a hole in it for a trombone and turned this whole song into something you could play. La Lupe just screamed it, which is the only version where anybody sounds really, really parched, and Maisa, who was forbidden to sing it at all, sang it like a woman who already knew what fear costs a heart. Ella took it so fast and scattered straight through the middle of Hobim's careful harmony like it owed her money. And a 20-year-old from the Ural Mountains by way of Israel, by way of Toronto, put it on her first record. Because a song about being too frightened to want something is a song you understand differently if you've already left everywhere you'd ever lived. And I stand behind my bass, and I could not play it. I go home. I look at page 14 and I find a chart that's perfectly accurate and told me none of all of that, which is why I leave you with Hobim himself, not the chart, but with Hobim himself playing it so sweetly. That's the standard show for this week. This week's tune was Água de Beber by Antônios Carlos Hobim and Vinícius de Moraes. You can find the full version, plus quite a few extras, on the website. That is the-standard-show.com. I'm Johanna Lean, and this is Big E Radio in Edmonton, and I'll see you next week.
Glovers, did you know that getting licensed to share music online is not just the right thing to do? It's also super important for supporting creators and the music industry. That's why we're proud to be licensed by SOCAN, a copyright collective that grants licenses for online music broadcasts in Canada. By getting licensed through SOCAN, you ensure that every beat, every note, and every melody that you play is compliant and fair to the creators. Join us in supporting the music community. Visit SOCAN's website at www.socan.com and get your web radio, podcast, or any other use of online music licensed today. Let's stream beautiful music together, legally and ethically. SOCAN. Music. People. Connected.